Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaveYourLife.com, and winter is slowly loosening its lock on Rochester with some warmer weather, some rain. It will start to look and feel like spring. Not every day, but it sort of feels like we are the light at the end of the tunnel kind of for winter. And so makes me think of seeds. And just saw an article in the Democrat and Chronicle a couple days ago about fruition seeds and a cherry tomato called Cherry Ember, which is pretty new. And it sounds like a wonderful tomato to grow. They're not sold out yet. And tomatoes are one that you need one fruit in this case, but one plant you need to start early, and that means in the next couple of weeks probably if you want to maximize your tomato harvest. I don't tend to start tomato seeds. I have some that start in my garden on their own, volunteers, but I tend to start flowers and things like peas and lettuce and spinach and kale. Tomatoes, you just have to start them so early. I don't know whether fruition seeds will have transplants or not this year. I don't think they did last year. They have in the past, but places like Lighthouse Gardens will have some tremendous transplants. So you don't need to start your own. You'll probably see some of these from local farmers. Fruition Seeds also is offering Brandy Wise Tomato, and if that sounds familiar, it's related to Brandy Wine, which is one of the preeminent heirloom, large, really massive tomatoes, but one that is it's prone to a number of diseases. And Cornell has done some work with the Brandywine and come up with this Brandy Wise, which is resistant to late blight, early blight, and Septoria leaf spot. So as Fruition Seed says, best of both worlds indeed, because the Brandywine has amazing flavor. It can be a little hard to cut, because they're somewhat contorted, but all you do is you cut them in half, and then it's very easy to deal with. But they're large tomatoes, huge tomatoes, and again, Brandy Wise is one of the newest ones. But they have, you get lost in these different tomatoes. They have the black cherry, which is one I've grown for a lot of years. They have a Berkeley pink tie-dye tomato, which is largely purple. There's an Arctic rose dwarf tomato and Dancing with Smurfs cherry tomato. Who comes up with these names? There's a coyote cherry tomato. It's yellow. Chiapas tomato, another cherry, and then tons of others. Honey drop, gold medal, gardener's sweetheart cherry tomato, sort of a shape of a heart. Fred's tie-dye dwarf tomato. So you should do some reading about these. And, it may prompt you to find more space in your garden for additional varieties of tomatoes. There's a Iditarod red dwarf tomato, an organic, well, actually all of these are organic. Jaded cherry tomato, a lemon ice dwarf. Just the names and stories behind them are fascinating. There's Pianolo del Vesuvio paste tomato. There's a Seeger S-E-I-G-E-R tomato. 10 fingers of Naples, the sauce tomato, and more. So just tomatoes alone, you can get lost perhaps for an hour reading about these different ones. And then you could send Todd Lighthouse an email, see what he's planning to grow this year in terms of tomatoes, and then decide whether you're going to order some seeds and grow some of your own. Some of these are used to getting seed packets with lots of seeds in them. Some of these, like the Brandywise, have 10 seeds in there. Now, unless you're a farmer, you probably don't need 10 Brandywise plants. So, that's probably fine. But some of these newer varieties, there are slightly more expensive per seed, which is still not very much. It's really very inexpensive, but more expensive than many seeds are. So that's just the tomatoes. Fruition Seeds has many more types of vegetables, herbs, flowers, and they also have a number of YouTube presentations and seed starting guides that are online. So check them out. And they're based in Naples, right around the corner from Rochester in the Bristol Hills, and are on the cutting edge of seed production, I think, in the United States. That's my impression. They're really doing an amazing job. So it's a local company, and also one of the leaders in research that they're doing, and things with Cornell and with farmers, doing some great work. So let me know what you end up growing. And 1 year I went completely nuts with tomatoes, and I tend to do this occasionally with things. We have a flat roof over our dining room, which now, the spring will have some chairs on it, and we have an outdoor sitting area. But before we really got that set up, I figured I would try tomatoes out on that flat roof. And I got 5-gallon buckets from one of the farmers at the Rochester Public Market, Jeff Werner. And I got, I think it was 35 or 36 buckets. And of course, I couldn't get 5 of each variety. I got 1 of each. And this was quite a few years ago when there were, Tomato Queen may still be selling some transplants this spring, Audrey Dean, and Rain Dance Harvest, Brian Bay. Between the two of them, you could find maybe close to 150 varieties of tomatoes. So, of course, I didn't have 150 buckets, but I did have 35, and I got 35 different varieties of tomatoes. And there's quite a bit of soil to put in these buckets and bring them up on my roof. It was quite an operation, and fairly heavy for the roof, although I didn't fill the buckets to the top. And that was before we got the roof replaced. But we weren't sitting up there, so I might as well just use the space. It faces south. It gets more sun than our regular garden, which is down on, ground level. And so I figured this would just, I would have so many tomatoes and so many different varieties. And a couple of things. One, if you do this, you should set up a drip irrigation system, which I didn't. And that really limited my harvest. It was a dry summer when I did this, and it was very hard to keep them watered. If I just set up a drip irrigation system, and you can do that, you can do it by getting actual drip irrigation lines, and those are available. There's a couple of places that sell them. One of which is just east of Rochester, a vineyard supply place. I think they have drip irrigation. and maybe some of the hydroponic stores do too. You can also experiment with just cutting some holes in an old hose and see if you can create a drip irrigation that is fairly even, depending on how many different plants you want to water. So that's the way to grow a lot of plants in containers. You really got to use drip irrigation. I still got a lot of tomatoes, not nearly as many as I'd hoped for, and diseases took a toll on those tomatoes, leaf diseases. And so that was probably 15 years ago that I went completely nuts, and again at 35 different varieties. Actually, I forgot. You know, I think the following year I had fewer buckets, but I put two varieties in each bucket, and so I think I may have had closer to 40 or 50 different varieties of tomatoes on my roof. And a second attempt, again without drip irrigation, and again, you know, minimally successful, I have to say, because I didn't fertilize them that much, I didn't water them enough, and they got plenty of sun. And it was kind of fun. I mean, it must have looked crazy from our neighbor's second floor to look over on our this roof and see, 20, 30 buckets of tomatoes and just growing all over the place. It was... I don't think I took any photos of it either. So anyway, you can go nuts with tomatoes. Containers work well if you can keep them watered. There's so many different varieties. Experiment with them. Look for those disease-resistant varieties. That really makes a difference. The cherry tomatoes I've become more and more fond of. They tend to produce longer. And, I think in the end, you probably end up with maybe a similar amount of actual tomato per pound. But the cherry tomatoes, they tend to ripen earlier, it seems. And you can just go out and pick them and eat them. I don't know. I've been growing more and more cherry tomatoes. So I'll be trying a bunch of these from Fruition Seeds. And I'll try to find out from Todd Lighthouse what he's growing this year in terms of tomato transplants. He also grows them for his salad CSA and for selling at the Brighton Farmers Market. So he tends to grow quite a few varieties of cherry tomatoes himself and then sort of mix them up and makes for a colorful little pint or quart of cherry tomatoes all summer long and into the fall, and actually really almost into early winter. I think he still had cherry tomatoes in November in some high tunnels. Now, if you want to start some plants, not tomatoes because they really need heat, but if you want to start some cool weather crops like lettuce, spinach, kale, peas, radishes, you can set up a cold frame in your yard, and this is the time of the year to do that. The sun is getting higher in the sky. This next week, actually, after this weekend, we're going to have just quite a bit of sun in the forecast if it stays that way. And so the idea of a cold frame is that you take advantage of the sun and the relative warmth of the ground and basically protect the plants, especially at night, from the colder temperatures. So you basically set up a box and maybe you can use a glass window or a glass door or, a framed piece of glass or plastic, although that could get damaged if we get heavy, wet snows in March, which we often do. But you could put a piece of plywood over it that night and then easily remove the snow the next day. The plastic's not going to retain the heat as much. Glass is probably better, but sometimes just easier perhaps to try some plastic. And generally, you angle it so that the sun can come through on more of a perpendicular angle, instead of reflecting off the glass or the plastic. But you probably don't need to angle it much, and you know that's kind of a fine point. So you could take just four boards and set them up in the size of whatever, again, old window, or you got to watch out, you have lead paint chipping off that old window, or you just create a kind of a frame for plastic that can be on top of this. And then quite a few years ago, I was trying to set up a lot of raised beds and kind of made the mistake of trying to saw these and nail them and, you know, sort of get them to sort of woodworking project in a sense. And a much easier way to do this for, a raised bed, but also to do start your plants early, start them quite soon, really. I would start them maybe this week if you use a cold frame, is to, instead of nailing things together, set the boards up and use some stakes to hold them in place. And you can dismantle it in seconds. You can create some wooden stakes. You can go buy some wooden stakes. You can use some heavier sticks from your garden. I have these two apple trees that produce a million suckers, and these suckers get quite tall. Some of them might be 10, 12 feet tall and fairly sturdy. I cut the top off them, and I basically have like a bamboo stake. I've got tons of them. So those you could, some of them are sturdy enough. You could hammer them into the ground just to hold the sides of the cold frame in place. You can also use soil up against the wood, and then put the frame of plastic or glass on top of it. So you can experiment with this without putting much money or effort into it, and see if you can get some early greens and early peas and radishes. Again, the ground right now is, at least ours, is somewhat frozen. And Monday night they're predicting, I think, 12 degrees, which will make it nice and frozen. But later this week, within the next week or so, I think, with the warmer weather and sunshine that's predicted, the ground won't be frozen, and you'll be able to do some of these things in the ground, and maybe create a cold frame or a raised bed. So call me or email me if you have questions, comments, michael@saverlife.com. If you end up finding some really cool seeds that you're excited about, love to hear about them. Again, send me a note, and I'll probably start some peas and Swiss chard and kale indoors within a couple of weeks, generally about a month before you plant them outside so they don't get too leggy. Those cool weather crops can take frost. They just can't take it. They're not going to do well if you put them outside and, like, the next night, it gets down to 20 degrees. The transition is not going to work for them. But if you can harden them off, which means getting them used to colder temperatures, maybe covering them if you're not doing a cold frame, but you could cover them. You could put a bucket upside down over them if you don't have very many of them on a few cold nights in April, or if we get some heavy snow or something, which can happen in April, but you'll get a jump start on spring. And again, a lot of these crops really don't mind the cold weather as long as they've been hardened off, and that means gradually exposed to colder temperatures over maybe the course of a week or 10 days. It's, you don't have to baby them that much, but they also don't want to just go from your 70-degree window where they're getting some sun and, you know, face 20 degrees that night outside in the garden. Wind is especially a problem for transplants, and if you add the wind and the cold, you know, they don't have any wind inside. I guess you could set up a fan, which would help with air circulation and would make the seedlings maybe a little sturdier. I got to ask Todd Lighthouse about that. I don't know if he's done that or if people do that, but wind is a problem for transplants. And that's where the cold frame helps them. They get roots established, and they're really not exposed to much wind at all. You have to open the cold frame on some really sunny, warmer days, or you could toast your plants. It can get really hot in there. So you prop it open a little bit, and the warmer air can escape, and you close it for nighttime. So hope you maybe do some experimenting with a cold frame. Once the snow is gone, I have 6 or 8 inches of snow still on my vegetable garden right now. But that'll change quickly with some rain this weekend and some sun next week. We will be back with For Love of Food, Discover the Finger Lakes, and then tomorrow the Grapevine. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaveYourLife.com. Have a great day.